What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the WrestleManiac UK show with myself, WrestleManiac UK himself, Mex. Guys, I hope you're all well. Hope you're all enjoying this past week. The weather in the UK has taken an absolute dive, mate. There was places that were at least supposed to snow this weekend. I don't know if there were places that got the snow in the end. Where I live, there was supposed to be snow, but there wasn't any. But it's so cold, it might as well have. You know what I mean? Like, very, very mad. But yeah, you know, compared to, I guess, the last few weekends where we had pay-per-views and stuff, this has been a bit of a quiet weekend. Some good stuff happening on our favourite wrestling products, you know, some good stuff from the Continental Classic on Collision over the last few days, and then SmackDown. I thought the segment for Randy Orton's signature in the main event was very, very good. I thought that was a very well done segment where both parties put across the importance of having Randy Orton on their brand, like making him feel like a big star. I mean, we all know Randy Orton's a big star anyway, but just made him really feel important and then kind of really vying for his signature. This is how drafts should be. Like, I know there'll be the just regular potluck out of a, you know, tombola, who have I got, but there should definitely be an element of, you know, wanting to sign the biggest players on the entire WWE roster. So yeah, I really enjoyed this segment. And of course, I predicted Randy Orton would go to SmackDown because Raw is stacked. And, you know, Randy Orton is going to be a challenger for Roman Reigns, hopefully at Royal Rumble, end of January. But yeah, he needs to be a challenger. And I just think SmackDown needs some star power. John Cena's recently left. Roman, he's never there. And the ladies have done, you know, a really good job carrying the weight of the show, I guess, in recent weeks. LA Knight, he's up there, but they're using him as like a prop, kind of, in my opinion, to kind of, you know, just get the crowd hype, bring him in to kind of assist people and stuff like that. He's not really in anything himself too tough. So yeah, I think it was really great, really, really good. Honestly, that main event segment put a smile on my face. I thought it was really, really good for SmackDown. But yeah, other than that, like I say, it's been a bit of a quiet week. Over on Wrestlings, we celebrated 200th episode of the podcast. Appreciate everyone. You know, I see all the nice messages across the socials. So I appreciate everyone for their love. You know, we're really trying a thing on Wrestlings. So, you know, make sure you're tapped in for the journey on all the social media platforms. But as it was a bit of a quiet week, I thought it would be a good time to reflect with a friend of the show, Warren Banks. For those of you that know Warren Banks, he is a wrestler in the UK. And Warren Banks had his retirement match on the 26th of November against Gene Money on Progress Wrestling Show. A really, really great journey. He wasn't in wrestling for long, not a long time, but he's had a great time of it, you know, championing different promotions, up and down the country, you know, prominently featured on Progress throughout his time wrestling, which is very good because, you know, you would say Progress is one of the premier wrestling companies in this country. So Warren's had a really good time of it, but he decided to retire. And for me, I wanted to find out why. Like I said, he wasn't out here wrestling for long. So why, Warren? Why did you choose to retire now? And it was a really good conversation. And it honestly helped me get some closure over the whole matter, because I remember when he announced his retirement some weeks back now, maybe about a month ago now, I was just like, what? Why? Sort of thing. Really baffled by it. But like I said, the conversation helped provide some closure. So that's what we've got today. We've got the interview with Warren Banks, the Nigerian Kaiju, on his retirement, why he's chosen to do it, and what he's going to be doing now moving forward. So guys, I appreciate you for tuning in. If you're new here, you know, hit the subscribe button or the follow button on your podcast platform. Leave a 5-star review. Let the people know about the WrestleMania UK show and how much you are enjoying it. And this is my conversation with Warren Banks around his retirement. Cool. So joining me at this time, we have the Nigerian Kaiju himself, Warren Banks. Bro, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm relaxed now. Much less stressed person. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I can only imagine, I guess, what the weekend would have been like for you. Just for some context for listeners, we're recording probably about, 48 hours removed or so from what Warren has said is his final match. He's retired from professional wrestling. Obviously, this is would have been something you've been thinking about for a while. So, was the emotions heightened like at the time of you deciding that, right, this is what I want to do? Or was it, you know, this weekend when you had that final match with Gene Money?
I think probably the emotions were higher on the weekend as opposed to the decision. I think the decision was one that crept up on me, so it wasn't as like emotionally acute as going out into a room full of like hundreds of people and like I'm doing my entrance and I'm walking around and I'm seeing people crying before the match has started. Then I'm like, so when people are like you're seeing lots of emotion like that, it's hard for it not to affect you. So I think the match hit me more than me deciding, you know what, I'm calling it a day.
What, I mean, I guess the million-dollar question for everyone that, you know, hadn't been in attendance and progress and stuff like that is as to what was the decision? Why have we got to this decision of you retiring?
It's not just one thing. I say to people, like, I'll probably write a book about it. Like, the tons of little things that add up that make you reach a decision like that. I think at the core of it all, though, is that I didn't enjoy it as much as I used to. As anyone will tell you, wrestling is something like it's full send, man. You can't dip a toe in. It's like there's nowhere to hide if you're not given 100%. Yeah. And I was at a point where like I didn't feel like I could give 100%. And I also didn't want to kill myself trying to do so. I think that's when I realized, okay, I don't really have the passion for this I used to have. And then over time, it was just, there'd be times when I'd be getting ready to go to a book and then I'd like wake up in a bad mood because I've got to give up my day to go and wrestle. And it's kind of like, that's not the attitude that you would want to have if you're trying to succeed as a wrestler. So I think it just slowly but surely, I realized I didn't actually like it anymore. That's not to say that I've not had a great time and everything like that, but I just didn't enjoy doing it anymore. So I just had to call it a day.
I mean, we know obviously in recent times you've come off the back of a relatively big injury or, you know, a stint away from it. Do you reckon that kind of contributed, and do you feel like that kind of was maybe a hindrance that, you know, like you said, if you're not able to give 100% and you're probably thinking about, you know, that injury and hurting yourself again, was that a main factor in the decision, would you say?
I would say, I think it's actually maybe 20 or 30% of it. The injury was bad and it remains bad, but it wasn't... I'd be lying if I said it's something that I could probably continue to wrestle with for the next 10 years. But I think, you know, when you want something, you'll find a way to make it happen. So I think with the injury, I probably would have ended up eventually going to a physio or a doctor or something to get it looked at more seriously than I did the first time and it happened. So I was having thoughts of quitting before the injury. So it's something that I've been turned around in my head for like well over a year and a half at this point. So the injury was unfortunate, but it wasn't a deciding factor or as much of a deciding factor as people may think it was.
Yeah. Well, I guess even not being a deciding factor, if you already had those thoughts before you got injured, it's probably, like you said, another 20% on top as to should I continue doing this, which is, it's, you know, I think you've been very kind of honest with that. Like, what are some of the tolls that have that you feel like it's just, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's like, what are the kind of things that you're thinking of that's kind of weighing on you and it's just kind of compounded in this decision?
I think it's a quality of life thing. I think it's, people don't realize how easy it is for you to kind of work yourself into a position where you end up in chronic pain for a large portion of your life, which isn't great. I had really bad patellar tendonitis for years, and I would wake up in the middle of the night with my knee throbbing. Like, it was, the pain would wake me up. So I was always tired and so on and so forth. And you don't live your best life that way.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was able to be corrected. But I was thinking about, you know, what happens when that's not the case, or you're dealing with arthritis in your neck before you're 50 or 60 and you're in chronic pain for the next 40 years of your life. So with my shoulders and stuff, it was a quality of life decision there. And I think I'll probably say the quality of life decision was the defining factor, because not the shoulders, it'll be something else. You have any wrestler, it's like bad shoulder, bad wrist, bad elbow, bad knee, bad, yeah. So quality of life wise, I realized it was doing a lot of harm for something I didn't particularly enjoy anymore. It was taking a lot without giving back to me the way it used to.
Was it, so in the end, with all of these bits and bobs, like, do you think this was probably an easy decision to make?
Yeah, definitely. I think, I know some people were shocked, and I'm like, okay, it's shocking to you because you're just hearing about it now. But for me, I'm like, yeah, nah, I've looked at it every which way. Like, my guy, and It's Always Sunny, when he's got the wall with all of the leads leading to different places, like, trying to analyze it. But yeah, this was the best decision I could think of in terms of what would make me happy. So a pretty easy decision, as you said. Yeah.
Any wrestler friends that try to kind of say, no, let's not do this, like, we can work around it? Or was it, you know, did you have people as well that said, you know, I understand, I get it?
It was both. It was both. Like, so Levi Muir was like very much like hand on shoulder, like, nah, we need to talk, big man. You can't do this. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to leave and he was like, nah, sit down, we're talking about this. So that was him. But then other than him, I think most people, like, as you said, nah, I get it. A lot of wrestlers, if you're doing it long enough, you know how much it takes away, even at this level. It's like having another full-time job, especially if you're someone who works as well. So it's it takes a lot. So a lot of people are like, no, completely understand, completely get it.
Yeah, it's just one of them ones. Like, if you're not in it, then you probably wouldn't know. Like you're saying, like, fans, like, I feel like it came quite abrupt when we all saw people like progress, or people saw it online afterwards. But you know, once we kind of come to understand all the deciding factors and all the bits that kind of you've considered, then it's like, well, yeah, it's a no brainer. And of course, your happiness, your well-being comes first. With the career you've had, I mean, I really came to know of you, I think it was just during the pandemic, or maybe we're just coming out of the pandemic. And I just feel like your name was catching a lot of steam very quickly. I remember watching those, like, empty arena progress shows.
Yeah, the Peckham era, yeah.
yeah. And, it's just like, you were the guy. I don't know the size of the crew at that time, obviously, given the pandemic or people coming out of the pandemic. But you were, like, on every show. And you were just, like, the guy to beat. Sort of thing. Like, what was some of your kind of... being a pandemic, that might have not been your most memorable time, but what were some of your most memorable times wrestling?
During that pandemic era or just in general?
Just in general, in general.
In general. Oh, man, there's so many. I think, like, the Peckham era stuff was special. Learning how to wrestle in front of an empty room was a crazy experience, but, like, a really good one. So that was memorable. I think Strong Style. Super Strong Style 16 getting to the final was special because I was legitimately injured the whole way through. So it was kind of like a story that was also real, which was special. And I got to wrestle John Morrison as well. He's like one of my favorite wrestlers ever. So that was cool. Gresham, the 10th anniversary, because there were like people crying and stuff because they thought I'd won and I hadn't. So being able to... so you're responsible for that kind of reaction is fun. And then I think on a personal level, I'll always remember, you know, those long journeys with your friends and you just start laughing at something, just the silliest in jokes, do you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like over the years going up and down the motorways with people, the same crew, it's kind of like you develop your own in jokes and your own language. So I think those will, I'll cherish a lot of those memories for sure.
Some of those people is like they become family because you are experiencing this, going through this, the trials and tribulations of it all, and with the same people in the same car and, you know, similar cities and all that kind of stuff. What about the maybe the companies you worked for? I know obviously what they do is just to book the talent, but people like Progress that have seemed to have a particular investment in your career, like they've really kind of championed you at times. Like you said, you're even learning on TV ultimately on their product. What was their kind of take when you maybe shared this news?
They could sense it coming because so to peel the curtain back a little bit, I do work on their staff as well, to help with like travel and logistics and so forth. So we were speaking outside of like an in-ring wrestling context, and I think they could tell from the way I was talking about wrestling as a whole, they were like, he seems a bit fed up with it. So when I did eventually tell them, one of the creative guys was like, knew it, called it, I told you he was going to quit. I told you. Like,
and he had money on it back.
That's what I mean. They're like, is he going to make it to Christmas? I don't know. but yeah, no, they weren't surprised. I think they saw it come in. Even when I came back from India, I remember speaking to them and I was saying, like, I'm struggling to do what I used to do. Some of it because I physically can't anymore, but some of it because I just don't have the fire in me to push myself that hard anymore as well. As much as I wanted to, I just wasn't able to do it. You know, like in a dream where you're running as fast as you can, but you can't move any quicker than you're moving. That's what it felt like. That's it. Yeah. That was it. So, enough. They weren't surprised.
Wow. You said you're doing some, you've been doing some work with them. Is that something that's going to continue now that you're kind of moving on to this next bit of the career maybe?
That's it. Yeah, we're yet to talk. They did say they wanted to speak after we got last weekend out of the way. So I'm just waiting to have a meeting with them to see what, if anything else more, I'll be doing. But yeah, I don't want to leave wrestling in its entirety. I think I've been a fan since I was in primary school. And it is still so fun. So, and it's getting juicy, man. I don't want to date this, but you see CM Punk coming back and all that madness. So it's juicy. Man, it's juicy.
It's really something that just it reinvigorates the fans. That's really what it is. Like
that's it, man.
It's crazy, and you know, I think especially when we've had a year where I'll say not just a year, but maybe in the last year and a half, like I feel British wrestling is getting back. Like obviously the pandemic was a time, and we're really getting back, and you know, we've seen new promotions pop up and stuff like that, and changes at the top of some promotions. Everyone is kind of believing again. More than ever, we're seeing British wrestlers on these American products in prominent positions.
That's it.
The belief is surely there. What are those dressing rooms like when it's like, you know, obviously people want to go out there and put their best foot forward, but is there the chatter about, you know, I want to get to here, and like what are those kind of conversations like?
I will say, like, the dressing rooms now are night and day in terms of professionalism as how they used to be pre-pandemic and stuff. I wanted to touch on something you said there about like the belief is back, and coming out of the pandemic, everything that came to light during that time, the scene had to really earn, you know, the trust and faith from the people back. And I'd like to think, looking at the success that it's enjoying now, that they've done it. You know, so and I put that down to, again, the change in attitude and the professional that you speak to. So like Leon Slater and Kid Lykos, who are two of the youngest wrestlers on the scene. You speak to them, they sound like they've been doing it for 30 years, man. They're just so professional, turn up on time, you know, like get their matches together, like just focused on the job, you know, no nonsense. No. Yeah, it's, I think that one of the reasons for the success is just to change an attitude from top to bottom. And I think the scene will continue to grow as a result, personally.
You think it's just a case as well of, you know, seeing is believing. If we're seeing, you know, the who's who's, I don't want to start naming names, but the who's who's are all on TV on these products, on that product. Do you think it's just like, well, if he can do it, there's no reason I can't, like the path is there almost.
that's the 100% what the vibe was like when NXT UK came about. And as you said, you're kind of looking at it and you're like, yo, I was in a match with that guy 2 weeks ago. Like, if I'm good enough for that, then surely I'm good enough for the next step. So talent believe in it, and then there being a clear progression available. Like we saw TNA come and sign up a few people on the last way around. Obviously AEW will have their eyes on new shows, and that we're seeing Japan, like, I don't want to say take, but a lot of like British talent going to
Yeah,
Japan as
going
well in
over there,
various
yeah.
promotions. Yeah, so it's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. If you want it, like, work hard, and it takes a lot of luck. It takes being seen by the right people at the right time, but it's there.
Timing.
That's it. It's timing. Yeah, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people can't help. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't help right place, right time.
Yeah, it is. On the contrast, I guess, to seeing the opportunity and, pushing yourself harder. What about when opportunity gets taken, companies go under or close for whatever reason, or NXT UK decided to close up shop. What was, I guess, the vibe of the place then on those occasions?
It was interesting because I think a lot of people, well, all of us knew someone who worked there. So we were mainly just like gutted for our friends and like, oh man, they might struggle to pay the mortgage. Like, are they going to be all right? Is there any, that was kind of the vibe there. We were worried for them. And then the way it happened, I believe, kind of coincided with this weird sort of boom in British wrestling on its own, like a second one. So the scene was healthier. And we knew, like, all right, we're seeing guys of our standard going over to like GCW and all these shows in the States and stuff. So there's a route still, if not the WWE kind of safe progression route, there's still a route independent booking wise and just grafting and getting there. So even with NXT UK disappearing, we didn't lose the faith that you can still, make it to a major promotion without it, and people are doing it. So they're all right not to.
These promotions, they are gonna, come and go, but like you said, it's work hard, take opportunities, and then your chance will come, obviously mixed with timing, like we just mentioned.
Course, yeah.
In terms of, just coming back to your career, I remember when we spoke on a podcast in, I think it was late 2021. You were obviously saying in, things are beginning to open back up again. The imports are gonna come in. You need to kind of secure your place, make sure that, you're doing the good stuff, because once the imports come back in, people, whomsoever, they like to book imports as well to
They
get, eyes on their products.
do.
You wrestling Jonathan Gresham, for me, is one of the pinnacles of your career, especially the way that match went. And like you mentioned already, the drama of, people thinking that you had won at a certain point in the match. Gresham at that time, I think, was very hot.
Red hot, yeah.
What would you say was your like career highlight, your pinnacle of your career?
I think it would be between either that match or the Super Strong Style 16 final. Because, and I know Chris like personally in it, so I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Like, I think in terms of a match, the one against Gresham was better, but in terms of the actual stage and I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if like status or pageantry is the right thing to call it. I think the final, because I was working with one arm, meant more to me because like there were times where I didn't think I could do it. I was speaking to the physio on Sunday and she was laughing at the fact that she would be with me up to the curtain and then I come back through the curtain and I walk straight back into the room because that's all it took to keep me together the whole time. So like I think that for me on like a professional and a personal level meant more than the Gresham fight. I flip-flopped there. I made it sound like I was gonna say Gresham. Nah, you know what? You know what? It's Strong Style 16. I think that's the highlight for me. That's the highlight
No,
for
that's
me.
fine, because that was a terrific match as well. And to be honest, Ridgeway is incredible. He's a great wrestler. One of those names that you mentioned has popped up in Japan in the last couple of years, and been doing a great job over there. Was he Noah, right? He was in Noah.
Noah. Yeah, he's a member of Stinger.
So I enjoyed him and Timothy Thatcher. Their little run together was a lot of fun.
Bad man.
You've had some really good moments, man. And I think, like I said, especially for me, and I'm just kind of learning every day up till now, I'm still kind of learning the British indie scene and the who's and stuff like that. I think it meant a lot to me that I saw you so heavily featured on Progress. Because obviously we know, you know, Progress is probably one of the top promotions in this company. And again, it's one of these things where we tend not to see a lot of people that look like ourselves on these shows, especially on these higher stake ones. If they come, they're probably imports more than, you know, the British national sort of thing. I feel like you've always kind of maintained an aura about you and all of those things that kind of kept you at least in the quote unquote top promotion. Yeah. What was at the time, obviously you said you kind of don't feel the same now, but what at the time, what was like the fire in your belly? What was the factor that kept you going?
So this is gonna sound so cheesy, but I wrestled for like a year and a half and I was not very good. I stumbled across a link to watch the G1 Climax and immediately fell in love with like Japanese wrestling and stuff and that style, right? And yes, that's it, strong style. And I'm a big fan of like not only that style of wrestling, but also a big fan of like shonen manga and anime and battle manga and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the most endearing lessons in every single one is strength through struggle. So I was like, you know, every time your main character fights a villain and gets battered and succumbs through it, they're stronger. So for me, it was kind of like, I want to wrestle and keep wrestling harder to keep getting better and stronger at wrestling. And so it was just a matter of just pushing myself as hard as I can and throwing myself into everything like 100%. And then if I came through it and survived, I was stronger. So it was the fire in the belly was that. It's just I wanted to keep forcing myself into bigger spots, harder matches, more challenging sequences and structures so that I could eventually become the best wrestler going, because that's how it works in like my animes, right? You just keep fighting, you get stronger, then you become the strongest. So that was the idea. That was it. So it was just like
become the boss.
That's it, innit? Yeah, I wanted to climb the ladder, innit? And become the boss. I don't even know. And the thing is, I don't know what that looked like to me. I think at the time, I don't even care. I didn't care at the time. I mean, I just wanted to just keep going. Wherever it was, I would go. So I think once that kind of goes, that competitor side goes, it's kind of like, what am I here for? You know?
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, you speak about strength and struggle, and obviously we talked about the changing landscape of the industry. Are there any changes that happened in the industry that you believe have had like a significant impact on your career? Whether it's stylistically, the way that, you know, people now have to wrestle to kind of get over, or whatever the case is.
You literally hit the nail on the head. I was about to say, like, what I did that was cool back in 2018 isn't cool in 2023. And I'm not about to sound like an old grumpy guy. Like, oh, modern wrestling. Like, no, absolutely not. No. But like, a lot of the cooler, more entertaining stuff is beyond me. Like, not just physically, but also even if I could do it, I wouldn't want to, because that's not how I would like to wrestle. So I think it's also like realizing I'm not changing with the times. And I won't lie to you, I don't sit and watch wrestling all the time anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like realizing that I no longer have like an interest in wrestling that much either. So I wouldn't want to wrestle a match like a 2023 wrestler. So there's no point in me wrestling in 2023 in my mind, because I just wouldn't enjoy it. Or I'd be doing stuff that I don't actually want to do because it just fits into the structure of a match nowadays, which a lot of people do. It's like paint by numbers at the minute.
Yeah. You don't want to just be there and tick a box. Ultimately,
exactly,
you make an impact as you're doing it. So, that makes sense. Mm. Talk to me about Gene Money. You've obviously mentioned your training and your start and stuff, and you don't feel like you were good for what, the first 18 months, you said?
It wasn't his fault though.
Talk to me about the man G Money. Obviously, that's who you had your retirement match against.
Yeah. Gene is, so I walked into Guardian's gym, as it was called, in Milton Keynes, and he was taking a class. Just joined in. And he's very flippant. So at first I was like, I don't feel like the guy likes me. For like a good few months, I didn't think me and him actually liked each other. And then after a while, it's kind of like, I can't tell you when we started to become friends, but we just did. And it was this sort of immediate kind of closeness and just being like, I felt like I'd known him for years. It went from literally like, I don't know if he likes me, to I think just having to work together on a couple of shows and being like, you know what, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a fantastic person. He's trained a lot of people. He's so good for like giving feedback and giving advice and stuff and time. And the effort he puts into stuff is exemplary. Like, he will do promos, get gear made, like merch. He will do anything to just make whatever he's doing more entertaining. And I think he's a great example for a lot of younger wrestlers to follow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's good that you've kind of, you know, cultivated that relationship with him. Obviously, like you said, it might have been a rocky start at the beginning.
Yeah.
but now, you know, it's respect on both sides. Like you mentioned, beginning to transition now out of the ring with the retirement, there may be, you know, what you were currently doing with Progress on the table. What else, if you said you wanted to do, still be involved in wrestling, like what else is on your mind? What else would you like to do, that transition from the ring to outside, or how do you envision yourself in the wrestling community now you're retired?
So I see myself, because one of the things I'm learning, or I'm doing when I'm at Progress as well, is learning how to like be on the headset and agent as well.
Okay.
So I think being able
to... That's like producing matches, sorry.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, sorry, yeah. So I don't do too much production because of most, like everyone is at a level now where they don't necessarily need my input.
Yeah.
But I would like to be able to take what I've learned and kind of help other people who may just be getting a start or are looking to try and take the next step up in the types of matches they're having and so forth. I would like to help out beginners as well. Because like a few months ago, I did help out at a school due to them not having enough staff. And I helped like a newbie get over the top rope for the first time. And the feeling of seeing someone get that is just like, it warmed my heart more than any match I'd had recently at that time. So I was like, this might be where it is now. Like,
when you say get over the top rope, as in literally jump over the top rope?
So like, you know, you have to learn how to get thrown over the top rope, or you have to learn to be able to do it yourself initially so you can do it safely. So this person had like a fear of going over the top because it can be scary. So being able to like guide them through it, get them to learn like, okay, here's where you put your hands, here's where your other hands, here's where you should be trying to hold your weight to do it safely, and seeing them get it is like, yeah, it just feels good to know that you helped. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I can imagine there being a safe way to do that, but I can't imagine like the amount of mechanics that you have to think about to do it. Like, you just think, just throw yourself over.
I'm not gonna lie,
to break the fall.
For ages, I was the same. I was like, I'm just gonna full send over this, and whatever happens, happens, man.
Literally.
The technique is important, though. It's important.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to get injured on your first go, especially if you're
there. You go.
Yeah. Exactly. What aspiring advice would you give? What advice would you give to aspiring wrestlers? Sorry.
Reputation is everything in wrestling, and I don't mean that to say that you should politic or you should pretend to be somebody or not, or anything like that. But what I've learned from the retirement and all the messages and the things that I've gotten is the way that you treat people will be remembered far more than anything you actually done or ever do. So I would say, remember, we are trusting each other with our lives when we do this thing. Like, we can die doing this. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all laugh and it's easy and da-da-da, but no, it's not hard to either die or seriously hurt yourself. So in terms of my advice to people, you probably heard it a lot, and we call each other brother, 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 but we are a family trying to look after each other and, you know, put on the best shows that we can. So be professional, be courteous, listen more than you speak, and just look after everyone, look after each other, look after yourself. Like, just first and foremost, forget the cool moves, forget the pop, whatever, just look after each other, and the rest comes naturally after that.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's really good advice. What about something that you weren't told when you started that you've come to kind of discover, if you were kind of to pass on that knowledge to a newbie, what would that be?
If you've been given 12 minutes, plan 8. That's what I would say. I know you're going to be tempted to try and do everything you can in 12 minutes, but trust me, plan an 8-minute match and hit everything with the sweetest timing. Much better. Much better. Less is more. It really is. Trust me, less is more. Okada has like 6 moves, bro, and he's the best wrestler in the world. Less is more. Come on.
That's true. And what are the factors? Like, obviously, there's things like entrances, this, that, and the other, and then maybe other matches overrunning, I'm guessing. Is there anything else that could shorten that time?
Remember who's in control, I will say. A lot of wrestlers like to... We should let the fans in, of course, because the interaction is what makes wrestling great.
Mm.
But remember who's in control in the room, because a lot of wrestlers get swept away or carried away. Or they're like, oh, they're paying attention. Like, no. You're here to do a job. It's all well and good, but, you know, get to work sometimes. Get to work. My dog has decided to come up because he's not getting attention. Sorry. Yeah, stick to your times and keep it tight. That's what I would say. Just remember who's in control in there.
Yeah, that makes sense. You mentioned the fans. What was one of your, like, favorite fan interactions over your career?
Against Gresham, when someone helped get me back in the ring. Like, I've been dashed into all four sides with a chair.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, where am I? What's going on? I don't actually know where the ring is. Oh, it's there. Give me a hand, please. So, being held back into the ring by some fans was great. I think that's probably one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. Now, as we've been talking, I've just kind of been reliving it in my head. That match was actually... that match was so good. Oh, man. How do you feel like you've grown as a person throughout your wrestling career?
Oh, man. Like, I'm so much more sure of myself. I'm so much more confident. Like, I've still got a long way to go self-esteem-wise, but I think being able to become so comfortable in really uncomfortable situations is like a skill that is going to help me and has helped me so much already. Connecting with all different types of people as well, from like, in wrestling, you meet people from everywhere, different cultures, different faiths, different, you know what I mean? It's being able to connect with so many people as well. So I've grown as a human being a lot because of wrestling. It's taught me a lot of patience. It's taught me how to stand up for myself and not be taken advantage of, how to socialize better. I met my wife through it. So it's just like there's so much has given me, which is why every time, oh, I'm gutted you leave. And I'm like, I'm satisfied, man. I got more out of this than I ever imagined I would when I started. So, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it's one of them ones where it's like an itch you want to scratch and then you just tumbles and tumbles and you keep going and keep going. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, as long as you're kind of happy with what you've done, what you accomplished in your career, to be honest, that's all that matters.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Good, good, good. And what are any lessons you learned within the industry that you are going to kind of go with you for the rest of your life?
I think being open and flexible to ideas. The amount of times I've been on the run-up to like a show where there's maybe a story beat or something like that, and I've told myself the entire week that this is 100% what I want to happen. You know, and then I get there and I'm like, no, oh, I'm fighting the changes. And afterwards, I'm like, you know what? That was a good idea, you know? That was a good idea. So I think being open, being flexible, being willing to change.
Is adaptable.
Key. That's it, adaptable. Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. That's the one. Yeah, being adaptable. Having to do that in real time in a room full of people sometimes means that, like, I can do that anywhere now. So it's great in any situation. So it's good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Boy, Warren, it's been a really good career. I think I've come to terms with that you're happy with it now. Like, I think this was as good as closure for me as well. I remember, like, being absolutely shocked when you said it, and I remember we obviously were in the group chat together. And
yeah, of course. Yeah,
I think at first people were asking, like, and I don't think you replied to anybody. Like, it was literally just the progress, you know, the clip that people saw, and yeah, it's just like, why, how come? And I hope, you know, people can use this to kind of understand a bit more, and most importantly, that, you know, this isn't through any kind of negative thing. This is a choice you've made, and you're happy with it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
I remember you telling me you'd done a law career. A law degree.
Yeah,
and you were, you know, you went into law before wrestling. Are we seeing the Nigerian kaiju return to that?
No way! I left law. I jumped out of law to wrestle, so I ain't going back in. I have other career pursuits that I'd like to put more time into now. So
nice.
Yeah, not going back to law. I like my health. I like my sanity too much to go back.
I hear that. Well, bro, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you. And although it's very, very early in your life, it feels almost weird saying this, but enjoy your retirement.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you one more time to Warren Banks for coming through and sparing me some time and, you know, just letting myself, letting the people know why it's time for him to hang up his boots. And you know, it's one of them things, once you lose the love for something, it becomes a chore. Like you heard him say, like, to travel up and down the country when you don't really want to do it, it's like, yeah, man, I might need to find something else to do. So, and like he said, with wrestling, your life is in the hands of, you know, your opponent or whatever the case is. So it's like, you don't want to be half-hearted or half-arsing it when, you know, you're meant to be catching someone or doing something mad and, you know, your head's not there because you don't really care anymore. Like, it's very dangerous, isn't it? So, big up, Warren. Like I said, a really, really solid career. Enjoy your retirement, my guy. You know, one of the premier faces to do this in the last few years here in this country, especially, you know, brother to brother, as another black guy, you know, Warren's worked extremely hard in the last few years to get himself where he needs to be. Come back from injury and all sorts, like, hasn't been easy, man, hasn't been easy. So it was great to have this conversation with Mr. Warren Banks. One last thing before we leave today, guys. Obviously, it is Spotify Wrapped season. And, you know, everyone's posting their analytics and all of that kind of stuff. Again, you know, I posted mine, I think, over this past weekend. Just want to say thank you. That's it. Just want to say thank you. You know, these metrics is one of them things. I just want the show to keep on growing. Everything else is a vanity metric to me. Apart from, you know, the fact that he said the show has grown another 11% this year. So whoever the 11% are, welcome. You know, you found me this year, welcome, and I appreciate you guys. Everyone that's been rocking with me from the beginning, I love you guys, appreciate you. Let's just keep going. You know, share the podcast where you can. I'd really appreciate that. You know, just hitting that little retweet button or sharing it on your Instagram, whatever the case may be. Introduce people to it. And, you know, hit me up in my DMs, WrestleManiacUK on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. Let me know what you want from the podcast. If there's any kind of other kind of programming, do you want reviews of shows? Do you want news? Let me know what you want. I'm experimenting with a few bits and bobs. Just let me know. And, you know, this is our podcast. This is our space. So, yeah, I'll make this into whatever you guys want to hear. If you want to hear more stories from wrestlers, let me know. And we can do that. But that is me done for the day. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. And again, thank you for all your love and support. New episodes next week, man, and of course stay tuned to the YouTube where we have our weekly shows as well. WrestleManiac UK signing out, and I'll see you soon.